Today, the House Select Committee is investigating the January 6 Capitol attack, which could be its final public hearing. It's expected to take a broader look at the efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
Since the summer hearings, the committee has spoken to Ginni Thomas, wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, after text messages and emails revealed she was trying to get Republican officials to overturn the election. The committee also reviewed documents from the Secret Service on January 6th, and this is all ahead of an expected final report and possible recommendations from the committee to the Justice Department. So where do things stand heading into the hearings in about just an hour from now? Ankush Kardori is a former federal prosecutor. What are you looking for in today's hearings? Big questions you want answered.
Well, I mean, I think that the major substantive issue that the committee has indicated that it's going to be grappling with today is potential knowledge or suggestions of knowledge on Donald Trump's part about the violence on the day of January 6th, and also continuing efforts even after that day to kind of overturn the election results. So it doesn't seem to be qualitatively different, really, from some of the other material that they've introduced in the prior hearings, but they seem to want to emphasize this. So that's supposed to be sort of the main subject today, but also, you know, I expect some sort of summation on the part of the members. According to the reporting, each one of them is going to have an opportunity to speak today. So this is really their last opportunity to really take the sort of bully pulpit that they have and to, you know, tell the public what they think.
Well, you know, there are no live witnesses testifying today, but of course there could be tape from past witnesses. And we're remembering over the summer we heard testimony from Vice President Mike Pence's security detail, fearing for their lives. We heard from Rusty Bowers, the Republican Speaker of the Arizona House, about the pressure campaign he faced to overturn the results, the harassment he and his family got at home.
Various groups come by, and they have had video panel trucks with videos of me proclaiming me to be a pedophile and a pervert and a corrupt and politician.
And a brave man to others who was voted out of office. What do you think are some of the most important revelations so far?
Well, I mean, I think that the evidence that they introduced that Trump was aware that he had lost the election and that the fraud theories that he had come up with and his lawyers had come up with were basically pretext. I thought that was like the first substantive hearing that the committee had. And probably by design, it was their strongest because they had amassed the most evidence on that point. I thought the most poignant witness was Shea Moss, who was the election worker in Georgia, who had her and her life and her mother's life turned totally upside down by the things Trump and Rudy Giuliani were saying.
Right, her mom, Ruby Freeman, and they both got death threats. We're told you're lucky it's not 1920. When the implication, of course, being when there was lynching, these were two black women who were poll workers. Again, you are waiting to hear more of a connection, but as a former federal prosecutor, have you heard any evidence to prove culpability by former President Trump? Anything on a criminal standard?
I think that the sort of the strongest body of evidence that they've produced, I'm still not entirely sure it gets them all the way there if you were really looking at this from a criminal perspective, but it is that theory that I mentioned that they sort of produced in that first substantive hearing that Trump was lying about the election results and that that may have been, the implication was, and they've spelled this out in court papers though, that may have been a crime effectively, an effort to block the certification and also to sort of perpetrate a fraud essentially on the government. I think that still remains the most potent theory that they've advanced. The theory that they've understandably focused on more recently, which is, you know, whether and to what extent Trump knew about the violence that day, I think they've come up a little bit short, but a lot of that has to do with evidentiary issues that are out of their control, like the executive privilege issues that they've had to deal with.
Right. And again, going into today, we're probably going to see some tape of interviews with witnesses since the summer hearings. But we're also hearing there might be some video of congressional leaders. What else do you think we might see or hear today besides the summations?
Yeah, you know, I don't, I'm a little curious myself because I've been trying to follow the reporting on this. and it seems like the substance of this hearing kind of came together a little late because it wasn't until the last couple of days that committee members were really indicating what was going to be on the agenda for today. So I'm really not sure what they plan for us besides, you know, some emails, potentially internal emails they've indicated from the Secret Service cache. But other than that, it's unclear to me. And it's supposed to be like more than 2 hours.
Well, we'll all listen together. And don't forget, live special coverage of the January 6th hearings begins at about 1 p.m., about an hour from now, East Coast time. Ankush Gardori, thank you.
Thanks for having me.